Greetings, friends. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In our previous program, we went through an overview of God's seven annual holy days, and we showed beyond a shadow of a doubt that these seven annual holy days reveal various aspects of God's tremendous and wonderful plan of salvation. And today we're going to concentrate on one of those seven annual holy days, which is called the Feast of Trumpets. It is the fourth out of the seven annual holy days. So let's turn over to Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, and we'll read in verse 24. This is where it describes the Feast of Trumpets. It's in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, and we'll read in verse 24. Speak to the children of Israel, this is God telling Moses to speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, that's plural. Trumpets were blown on other holy days, but this was a special day, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, plural, and it's supposed to be an holy convocation, which simply means that it's a time for people of like mind to gather together, and it's to gather together to have a memorial. So when the blowing of trumpets occurred, it's supposed to bring to our remembrance something. So why were trumpets blown in Israel? Well, primarily for four reasons. Trumpets were blown to announce group gatherings. Trumpets were also blown when it was time to wage wars. The third reason why trumpets were blown were for ceremonial celebrations. And the fourth reason was at the coronation of kings. So now we're going to find this in the scriptures. We can turn over to Numbers, the 10th chapter, and we'll read verses 1 through 10. This is the book of Numbers, and we're going to read in chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Here it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shall you make them. And you should use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow the trumpets, all the assembly shall assemble themselves together at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So this is the first reason why trumpets were blown. It was for group gatherings. So again, it said, so that all of the assembly shall assemble themselves together at the door of the tabernacle. So let's continue. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves to you. When you blow an alarm, so here's the key, when you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie in the east part shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. Now here's this next part. This is for the announcement of wars. It says, and if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets. So that was for the signaling of wars. Now we go on to the third part. And you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months. So this is a clue here. And in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over your sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. So this has to do with ceremonies. So first we saw about gatherings, that the congregation was supposed to assemble together at the tabernacle. The second thing we saw was when it was time to wage war, that a trumpet would be blown to sound an alarm. And then the third part here is that when they got together for ceremonies, the trumpets were supposed to be blown. Now we didn't see the trumpets being blown for the coronation of kings, which is the fourth reason in that particular passage, but we can see that in 1 Kings chapter 1, and this is in verses 32 through 46. Now I'm not going to read all of this because it's a long story, but it's in 1 Kings chapter 1, and it's in verses 32 through 46. And it starts out by saying, and King David said, call Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet, and tell them to come before the king. And it says, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint Solomon king over Israel, and blow with the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon. That's what they were supposed to do when they blew the trumpet, was to announce, God save King Solomon. And then what happened is there were other people that wanted a different person to be a king as opposed to Solomon. And it says here, all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of their rejoicing. And Adonijah, this was the person who was opposed to Solomon becoming king because he wanted to be king. It says, and Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard this noise as if it was the sound of a trumpet, because it was. They were blowing trumpets. And he asked, where is this noise coming from? And while they spoke, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came and said to Adonijah, come in, for you are a valiant man. And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, truly our Lord King David has made Solomon king, and the king has sent with him Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet, and they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon. And so that's what they heard, was this sound of the trumpet when Solomon was anointed king in Gihon. And so those were the four reasons why trumpets were blown in Israel. One was for group gatherings. Two, it was for the waging of wars. Three, it was for ceremonial celebrations. And four, it was for the coronation of kings. So, let me ask you this question. What do you think is the spiritual significance for God's people today in observing the Feast of Trumpets? Well, I'm going to answer that. So let's first talk about, number one, the group gatherings. And this is the spiritual aspect of it, the significance for us today. Let's turn over to Matthew, the 24th chapter, and we'll start reading in verse 29, and we'll read through verse 31. Now we're going to talk about the spiritual aspect of the blowing of trumpets to show you the significance of the Feast of Trumpets, this fourth out of the seven annual holy days that God has for us. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 31, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. So here we have our time period. It's immediately after the tribulation, the great tribulation. It's immediate, and that's the fifth seal. If we reference that with the book of Revelation in chapter 6, that's the fifth seal. And then the sixth seal is when the sun is darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars fall from heaven. And then the seventh seal is when the sign of the Son of Man appears in heaven, when he returns to the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so it says, notice this next part, because this is the group gatherings. It said, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And what follows after that? And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. They shall gather together his elect. When the trumpet is sounded, there will be a group gathering. It will be the gathering together of God's elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. This is going to be the resurrection of the church to eternal life. You remember, it says in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, that the dead in Christ rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we shall all be caught up together with Jesus Christ in the air. And then we return to the earth to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. That's called the millennium. And that is revealed in one of the other feasts of God, one of the other seven annual holy days. And that's called the Feast of Tabernacles, which we'll get to in a couple of programs. But here we have it, a group gathering at the blowing of the trumpet, And this is when Jesus Christ returns to earth with his angels, and he gathers together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. He resurrects all of his saints and changes those who are alive in the twinkling of an eye and gives us eternal life. So I ask you this question. Why are the elect gathered together? Well, it's for a resurrection and a reunion. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll read verses 50 through 54, because we're resurrected and then we are reunited with our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 50 through 54. And notice again the timing of when this trumpet sounds. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when? At the last trump. Again, if you reference the book of Revelation, and this is in chapter 11, it talks about the seven trumpets blowing. And then the last trump, at the seventh trumpet, when that trumpet is blown, that's when the resurrection will occur. So let's continue in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And what a glorious time that will be, when we will be spirit-composed, eternal beings, children of God, literally born into the family of God. That's what will happen when this last trump is blown. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if this trumpet is literally blown on the Feast of Trumpets. After all, Jesus Christ was crucified as the Passover lamb on Passover day. After all, when Jesus Christ was resurrected, he said to Mary, "Don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended into heaven to be with my Father, to be accepted of my Father." Well, that was actually on the day of the wave sheaf offering. So we have those two events. Then we have a third event. The Holy Spirit was actually given on the day of Pentecost. So three significant things in God's plan of salvation happen on three of God's seven annual holy days. Well, the next thing to happen in God's plan of salvation is that Jesus Christ will return to the earth. Well, it's very probable that Jesus Christ will return on the Feast of Trumpets. Now, I'm not trying to predict the actual year that he's going to come back. No man knows the time exactly when he's going to come back. But I wouldn't be surprised, since he's literally fulfilled certain things on his holy days, that he would fulfill his coming, his second coming, on the Feast of Trumpets, because the Feast of Trumpets talks about the second coming of Christ, when he comes to take over the world, and when he resurrects his saints to come and rule with him. So we're going to continue this point in our next program about the trumpets being blown for group gatherings. I thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.